Welcome to the PDP on Retirement Working Group on October 12th at 2359 UTC. On today's call, we have Alan McGillivray, Debbie Monahan, Kim Davies, Martin Boyle, Maureen Hilliard, Nick Winden-Smith, Nigel Roberts, Peter Cook, Stephen Deerhake. Apologies from Peter Von Rasta, Michaela Nalen, Annabeth Lange, Barbara Povsey, Mirana Tasek, Everhart Lise, Yap Akerhus, Peter Vergata. If you are on the audio bridge only, please let yourself be known now. Hearing no one, as a reminder, these calls are recorded and transcribed. I would also like to remind participants to state your name before speaking for purposes of the transcript and to keep your phones and microphones muted as to avoid any background noise. Thank you very much, and back to you, Nigel.
Yeah, thank you, Kim. With Alan joining, I think that makes us 9 present and 8 apologies. I think on balance, we're probably good to go unless I see anybody wants to suggest that we adjourn. If that's of your mind, please either say something or put it your flag in the next few seconds. Nothing heard except a considerable 50 hertz hum. I think that's Nenad. Right, okay, action item 2, 2A. Bart, have you got anything to say on this?
Not really. It's action item 2, it's the updated glossary. It's, I think it's part of the... The way it's structured right now is that we touch upon the topic itself in item 5 of the agenda, and the initial analysis is item 6 of the agenda. Just for maybe action item 1, if somebody wants the ISO 3166 standard in PDF, please send me or Yap an email. So Yap can send it to you, make it available. So action item 1, this is the final time we keep it on the agenda. So if you want a personal copy of ISO 3166, please send Yap or me an email and we'll make sure you get one. That's all with respect to the action items, Joel.
Okay, great. Thanks, Bart. Item 3, the overview transitions of two-letter codes, is the item. I think, is that referring to the document I posted, or was it something else?
That's a document you posted.
Okay, Bart, thank you. Okay, it's coming up on screen. As you can see, I don't want to talk about it too much, but obviously if there's anything that arises from it, please do feel free to interject. What we've got here are 33 transitions since the standard was introduced. Some of them are quite interesting, and you can see that the ISO ref is a particular four-letter code, which either consists of the old code followed by the new code, or the old code followed by certain conventional codes such as double A or double H, which have specific meanings. They provide quite an interesting suggestion for stress tests that we could use when we finally produce a draft policy. Anybody got any comments on this document? Otherwise, in that case, we'll pass on to the next item on the agenda. No, apparently not, and welcome to the, I think, additional 3 people I haven't mentioned by name, spelled correctly or not. Okay, can we go back to the agenda then, please? Thanks, Stephen. Stephen comments in the chat on that. Ninad, you mentioned whether if any of these were never included in DNS zones. I think more of them were not than are. I think there are about four or five of them that are, and they document actual retirements, but most of them weren't. Okay, we've got the agenda back up. Agenda item 4, work plan discussion. I think that's you, Bart. Okay, I'm not hearing anything. Kim, am I still with you?
Sorry. Kimberly, could you change the document again? Well, here we go.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
Thank you.
Okay.
So, on the last call and following a conversation with Nigel and Eberhard, on the last call, we presented, say, two ways of moving forward, and the differences are, I would say, relatively subtle. It's the first one is starting with a delegated CCTLD, and then you have a retirement process, and then you go to an undelegated CCTLD. And the second process, and the document is scrollable, by the way, it is the end change of a listing on the ISO 3166. And then you, if that happens, you go into a retirement process and you end up with an undelegated CCTLD. And as you see the term undelegated, and we had a discussion about it, undelegated CCTLD is a term, it's a heuristic, it's not defined anywhere, but it's just to have, to show, it's something that is different than a delegated CCTLD, which everybody knows what it is and is defined in the FOI and in other documents. So scrolling back up, said, so the real question I think this group is needs to look into and deal with is, say, questions around the retirement process itself. And then the first one is, what are the different phases of retirement process? So that's initiation, implementation, conclusion. Conclusion in the sense of it ends in an undelegated CCTLD or nothing happens. And then looking at the retirement process itself, so who initiates such a process and what are the events that cause a retirement process to kick in. So is it the final stage? You can read it for yourself. And this is where the two are similar. At some point, say, I think two or three meetings ago, you agreed that, say, the change of a state on the ISO list would cause the or would be grounds for a initiation of the retirement process. So, and these different states are change of states are the six that are listed, and so that's the state the first one. If you look at the second scenario, and this is what you agreed or the working group people who attended the previous call agreed upon is the change of state is causes or provides the grounds for the retirement process to start. And again, as you can see, these are the similar states. And then again, a set of questions that the working group needs to run through and or the to define and run define the retirement process per scenario. Basically, the working group agreed that, say, the second approach, so approach B, would be the starting point for further analysis and further work. And finally, the overall working method staging of work that was briefly discussed was independent of the approach. They start with a description of what happened in the past, if at all, and check whether one of the two approaches is relevant. Then, based on the available publicly available documentation around retirements or CCTLDs or changes, describe the issues identified and answer already some of the questions. And then at the next stage, the working group would develop and recommend a policy for each of the different stages. So that's more or less what was discussed in the previous working group call. And say, based on the second approach, I did an initial pass at the first scenario, which I sent to you and which we'll discuss in under item 6. So that was the third action item. So over to you. I hope that explains it. Over to you, Nigel.
Yeah, Bart, that's very good. Thanks for that. I don't see anybody has got any hands up, but Peter, are you going to say something? I see you typing in the chat. Give opportunity for that comment to arise. One comment I'd make here is that the diagram you've got there where the word retirement process exists, that's in the 33 examples, if we assume they all were in the route, which most of them weren't, but that's represented by the four-letter code. So you start with the delegated CCTLD on your left, let's say .tp or something, and you end up at the eventual with it being delegated. Okay, Peter, that's a comment about CS in being in the route in 1991. Any last opportunity for comments on the work plan? Otherwise, I would say that's that counts as a reading. Yeah. Bart, any final words before we move on to the next?
I think based on this, and maybe we need to revisit, but at least, and that's the good thing about it, and that's why say it is presented, at least it's a way forward to move from the presentations, more in-depth analysis of the practices, or say the presentations from Kim Davies and from Jaap, to move forward with an approach. And Stephen, I saw your note. Effectively, this is the second reading. This was presented to the group last, say, 2 weeks ago as well, and we went through it. And based on say the discussions at the time, say we agreed upon the glossary. As a way forward, and also on the say that we would initiate or start with the initial analysis under item 6. Okay, thank you. Back to you, Nigel. No further comments on this one.
Yeah, thanks, Bart. That brings us quite neatly onto the last sentence in that document, which reads, in parallel develop glossary, i.e. defined terms. And that comes on the agenda on the left-hand side, item number 5. Bart, can we get an update on that?
Yes, thank you. And Peter Koch, thanks for your comments, because what you see, it's what I tried to do based on the discussions last time. I've updated the terminology list a little bit, not the terminology itself, and particularly not the IANA naming function terminology. Can you hear me? What is it? Ah, just some background noise. So I've added some terms, in particular, at the request of some of you, retirement of CCTLDs. I looked it up in the FOI. It's not defined in the FOI nor in the DRD working group document. And revocation, again, that is defined. And so I've added this again to ensure that there is no misunderstanding around the different terms in use. If you would look at the terminology in the context of the ISO 3166 standard, and this goes to Peter Koch's point, I've again further tried to look it up, and say unassigned is defined transition and reserve, and that's the interesting point. Say you got the ISO 3166 online platform glossary, which defines the term, but it's also defined, or more as a rule, included in the standard document itself as a in one of the clauses. Exceptionally reserved, same thing. And I haven't completed it, but this was more checking whether you think this is a useful approach. That's why you see, if you look at transition reserve, you see these two, you see the row underneath to include the second definition. Exception reserve, similar case, it's defined in the online browsing platform, but also there is a rule in the standard which is a little bit different, and they refer to some of the cases indeterminately reserved, similar. Again, that's one of those terms of art used by the ISO 3166, or in the context of 3166, and then it becomes interesting in the sense of, and this is probably going to be difficult for outside of defense and users of the ISO 3166, country names, country codes, code elements, and list of country names, etc., is defined in the standard as well. So again, and that's probably one of the confusions that is created when, say, YAP is involved. He is very much versed in say, the use of this terminology. And if we start talking about the ISO 3166, we have to be careful and have to be very on the terminology we use, just to avoid any misunderstanding. So, for example, country name and list of country names the list of country names is the list of the names of countries and or the area of particular interest included in ISO 3166, clause 9, and effectively are the assigned codes and the online browsing platform. So it's going to be we need to be very careful when we start using these times kind of terms in discussing it. So I'll keep this updated. Whatever you want me to add to it, put it in the notes. And so that's the latest on this one. So in the on the glossary terminology document. Any questions other than in the chat?
Tim, we got a participant that wants to say something. Kim, over to you, mate.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, mate.
Okay. So thanks for this. I just wanted to clarify, maybe a colleague did on the last call, but I would just, the first page you have the iron and naming function terminology. I wouldn't read too much into that in the sense that the distinction between, say, the way AN versus YU is represented in the database is not a distinction we intended to make. It's more some technological limitations that we had in the era that that change was made to the database. So if it wasn't otherwise self-evident, the distinction between AN, YU, TP, there's no distinction whatsoever from our perspective. Just thought I'd add that clarification.
Yeah, Tim, thanks for that. We missed a little bit of what you said at the beginning because you were breaking up slightly. I'm understanding from what you were saying that the terminology is not specifically defined. It's just what was used at the time and was based on the technology of the time. Is that a correct assessment of what you just said?
I was trying to make something a little more nuanced than that, but let me type it out. It's not critical.
Okay, it sort of matches something I was about to say as well, is that what we've got here is an overview of observed terminology rather than referring to something that's, should we say, in some glossary somewhere. Now, Bart?
Apologies. Maybe this is just a question for clarification. So in some cases, the two letter codes, like in the case of AN, is still in the root zone database. In other cases, it isn't. Is there a kind of reasoning behind it? There is very...
Yes, there is.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, the reason is technology related. For those that were pre any automation for the root zone, the database was fully manually maintained and we were able to remove them entirely. Then once we had the root zone management system in place, basically the root zone management system didn't cater for fully deleting the record once it was removed from the root zone. If you did, you would lose the history of previous change requests and so on. So as a sort of a hack, for lack of a better word, we left the record in the root zone database, but then we just put the sponsoring organization as retired, whatever, I can't remember the exact term, I'm guessing it's retired, but, you know, basically cleared out all the contact fields and put in retired. Flash forward to actually just about a month or two ago, we finally implemented first-class support for fully deleting TLDs. So any revocations or retirements that would happen moving forward will have the record fully removed again. And at some point, we'll tidy up those records that were in that intervening period. But that's essentially the chronology as to why there's some inconsistencies about how they're showing in those public records. It's just due to the limitations of the technology at the time that those revocations were made.
Okay, thank you. And what I find interesting that you use it right now, do you say that you call it revocation?
You know, revocation is an acronym of delegation, so I think we haven't, well, I won't pretend that we've put a lot of thought into the terminology, and you're probably looking for distinctions that we weren't trying to express. But, yeah, revocation, you know, for the staff just seemed like the best antonym for a delegation.
Sorry, because again, that's why if you would look at say the, but maybe that's something for, but I don't want to drill down to it, but it's a, if you look at revocation, again, based on the FOI, it is, it has a specific meaning. And say, again, this would say, this is just an observation. It might cause some confusion again, especially in future. Yeah, I see you, Kim. But just to, for clarification, these questions. Stephen, your hand is up as well.
Thank you, Bart. I want to thank you for your clarification on the revocation vocabulary issue. Question to Kim, if I understand you correctly, what you're suggesting then is the document before us with regards to the glossary should condense the .an, .yu, and .tp into the same definition, so to speak. Is that correct? It's just a matter of technicalities at the time.
I think that's a fair assessment. And then I would say in the category of .um, from our perspective, that has the same status as, say, .ss, .eh, in that it's in the 2166 standard, it's eligible for delegation. In the case of UM, it just happens to have been delegated in the past, but no longer. But that's not something, it's not a distinction we're trying to surface by our use of language. It's just an artifact of how it was recorded at the time.
Thank you. I, with regards to .um, I think we need to keep that separate because that's a whole separate can of worms we need to look into at some point. Thank you.
Kim, again, this is a question around this term because it's a, if you look at assigned and unassigned or not assigned, so there is this mixture again between this terminology of, say, in the context of the ISO 3166, where unassigned or not assigned, if you look at it, has a specific meaning. And this is where the confusion started at my end. Let's say UM in the context of ISO 3166 is still assigned. It's still included in the list of country names. And say in the RZM it's used as not assigned. Maybe that's something for this working group to deal with. But I think this is it starts. So you can see that say the ground terms or say like assign start to have a different meaning. I just wanted to flag this again as an observation.
If I could just comment on that, I think at that particular juncture around 2007, my recollection, and you know this was a long time ago, some of the sentiment in the community that we were hearing was that delegation is a strictly technical term for having NS records in the root. And we were, I think, wrestling with, is there a terminology that distinguishes between being delegated in a formal technical sense, i.e. there's NS records, versus it had been assigned to what we call a CCTLD manager. Now, these two acts are typically done in unison, but it's not fundamentally essential according to policy. So you could envisage a situation where the CCTLD manager has been selected, but they haven't actually put NS records in the root zone yet, for example. So, you know, I think that was part of it. Certainly there was no thinking at the time that we were trying to reflect the ISO 3166 status by saying not assigned. That being said, I think, you know, if we'd known 10 years forward that this language would have been picked over by in great detail by a working group. I think we would have thought about it a bit more. I think there wasn't a great amount of thought put into the specific terms that we used at the time, so I wouldn't read too much into it.
No, thank you. I just noted, the terminology used, and say, because it creates, and as you know far better than I, it does create some confusion, and if we can avoid it by clarifying the terminology, that's already something. Makes our life easier.
Yeah, okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, we do, Nigel. Are there any other questions regarding this document? Or comments?
Yeah.
If not, so I'll maintain this in parallel of say the discussions of the working group itself, and I assume say regularly, maybe not every meeting, we revisit it. My suggestion would be, Nigel, that the working group and you would look at it once more at the next meeting, so you can see. And check, say that especially around transition and reserve and the reservation definitions in say around ISO, how they are included in the document, so you do have a basis, especially around the two different ways of looking and defining exception and reserve, indeterminate reserve, and transition reserve. So, and from that point of view, I think once more have a full discussion or say presentation around this, and then moving forward, run it in parallel and revisit it maybe every 2 months or whenever you think it's needed, and when a new term needs to be included.
Maybe we put it on the agenda every other meeting or every third meeting or something like that. I think we need to do one pass by to take Tim's comments into account from tonight. So let's bring it back to the next meeting and then consider it on the schedule that you suggested. Does that sound okay?
Yeah. Okay, wouldn't it?
Thanks. I see a comment from Barak in the chat, which is addressed to Nick about the hyphen. Doesn't make any difference to me as a... But maybe Nick's got a different view.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, obviously I've got a hyphen in my name, so perhaps I'm more sensitive about it, but just in terms of, you know, crystal clarity on using the same exact characters which are defined and meaning versus moving outside of that, I guess I notice the difference if a word is hyphenated or unhyphenated, and why would you hyphenate a word in English, which I think in the dictionary isn't hyphenated, so it's just sort of, you know, it's very easy to get into very similar terms as we've seen on this list, which actually mean something different. So I suppose it's just about discipline to stick to something which is exactly right. I suppose is the point. That's all.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. Or even un-hyphen assigned or something. Hyphens can also arise simply by breaking across lines sometimes. I must admit, when I see un-hyphen assigned, it jars because the word is unassigned. But we'll keep an eye out for consistency. Is that okay? Good. Any other comments? Bart, your hand's up. Is that old on you?
That's an old one.
Okay, cool. Then in that case, we've got one more agenda item before AOB. Change of name scenario, first analysis. Let's go.
Okay, that's me again. Following the discussion the previous meeting, what I've done is look at a change of name or code elements which would cause a change in the ISO 3166. So this is one of the end stages that was defined by the working group. What I've done, and I just will run through it this way and then say open the floor for questions. What I've done is include the definition list, this is the scenario, end stage is change of listing ISO 3166. That was used by the working group. I then went back to the online browsing platform because that's an easy tool, but also Nigel's document, to check which of the country names has changed so much or the two letter codes has changed so much that it caused a change in the ISO 3166. So I've listed those, including the year it happened. So you can see that Burma changed to Myanmar, so that's BU changed to MM in 1989, and I see I use different ways of looking at it. With Burma should change, BU should change to MM, and so from Burma to Myanmar. Belarus changed, but there is no change in code element in 1992. IE, you can see H3 to BF, so from Upper Volta to Burkina Faso. East Timor, so TP to TL, Timor-Leste, and Zaire to CD, Congo. And this is in alphabetical order, as you can see. So what I also included, and this is relevant, I use language in the ISO 3166 standard 7, and that's section 7.4 of the standard itself, is when does a code change on the ISO 3166, so a significant change. You can read it yourself. So based on that, I used, and this goes back, that's why the document was included for the same reason, for that reason the document on the working method was included again, is I started looking at the questions and tried to answer some of them, but this is at a... a description level, and putting a little bit of, a few observations from my end there. So they're purely mine observations, and I try to link it to some of the publicly available documentation. And Stephen, for your OBP reverses to the online browsing platform, ISO users, that's the open accessible online browsing platform, with regard to country codes on the ISO 3166, on the ISO website. What I've done I took two cases because these are the relevant ones and where the change of name ended in a undelegation or revocation, as Kim calls it. The change scenario caused a retirement. So these were the two cases. I started to address and try to describe the two cases or the questions around these two cases. So who initiated the retirement process? If you look at the documentation available, it is not clear who initiated. You can infer it or say it's implied, but it is not really stated whether there was a real decision from who sent out what to whom, etc. So that's maybe need for further analysis or information, but it's not clearly stated in the different documents. What you can see is that say the change in the ISO 316 standard is the cause for invoking the retirement process. It is, and that's maybe something to consider in future use and around these scenarios, whether it remained or changed from one category to the other is not very significant at this stage. So just the effect of, say, a major change in name or in the two-letter code is the cause for the retirement process to kick in. At least that was my observation. What happens next with the two-letter codes in the ISO context is not relevant. The second thing, what I think as an observation is the change of name itself did not invoke the process. It is, say, in both cases, the incumbent CCTLD manager wanted a delegation of the successor name, and this caused the process to start. So there is no specific, say the change in the ISO standard is not causing or triggering the retirement process itself. It is something else, say the request for delegation of the successor CCTLD. So in the case of .zr, it is the request for the delegation of .cd, and in the case of .tp, it's the request for the delegation of .tl. At least that is my, say, what I see. And the documentation change, these are board decisions at the end of the day with underlying IANA reports. And then moving forward, the consequences, again, this is how far I got. I've included a list of documentation for reference, so at least, and I try to refer in the document itself to the different sections and different reports. This is, initial explanation of the document you have in front of you. Any initial question or any questions at this stage? And do you think this is a helpful way of looking at it? So back to you, Nigel. These are...
Bart, thank you for that. I have, Kim has made a comment in the chat that informal dialogue started with the current operator in those circumstances once the code changed to find out what their plans and intentions were. I think this also begs the question, in the current status, in the past this was done by ISO newsletters. So when is an ISO newsletter published, as happened when GG entered the ISO list in 2006, then that's, if you like, it's an obvious event. As we have this online browsing platform, it's more a question of you have to, browse it. So how do we determine that there has been a change, or do we just have to get the IANA to go check all the codes
once a month or something. Okay. Kim's just pointed out that OBP sends email announcers to subscribers to the standards, which I presume the IANA must be. I don't see any hands up. Anybody want to ask something in relation to this document? Obviously, it's a document that is a work in progress, but it's extremely helpful from my perspective. Any comments from any of the attendees? Kim says yes in the chat. Hearing none.
Martin has his hand up.
Thank you again for that, Mark. Any more comments from you?
Martin has his hand up, Nigel.
Oh, okay, yeah, that I must have blinked. Martin, go ahead.
Hi, thanks, Nigel. Martin Boyle here. Yes, it's a little... well, firstly, responding to Bart's question, yes, I think this, as a document, is very helpful. I think it's probably something that we can build on as we start not only just looking at the history, but also as we start to try and then populate it with our assessment of the policy issues associated. The reason I put my hand up is this slight imbalance, I think is the right word, between when you agree to drop using a code and when you apply for the new code for the country, because I was a little bit concerned by Bart's statements that .zr and .tp both turned into a, if you want CD, you've got to give back .zr, or if you want .tl, you have to give back .tp. And partly it's that concept of trading, which I think we need to move away from. I think it needs to be very much more clearly a policy-defined case, but also the fact that for some time we are going to need to have both the old code and the new code operational at the same time. But then I was intrigued to see Kim's comment in the chat where he said, well, actually, no, there was an informal dialogue with the operator after the code change status just to find out what their plans and thoughts are. And I think that probably is a helpful way of starting to look at things as to being that at an early stage in the process of requesting, then there needs to be that assessment of the transition process and what needs to be done in the transition process, but certainly moving away from a sort of horse trading environment. If you want this, then you have to see that. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Martin. That's all very good points. Any other comments? Hey, Bart just put his hand down.
Yeah, just to make sure. So, Martin, as you will see as we move forward, this concept, and this is probably caused by using publicly available documentation. Say, what Kim has put in the chat, you will not see in the publicly, say, IANA reports and or the board decisions. And that's mainly what is available In some cases, there are some underlying letters which I could retrieve because they're on the ICANN correspondence page, but that's it. So what I'll do is, at least say in these two cases, or especially in the TP case, I think Kim is referring, but also in future, there is probably already, say, as a standard practice, the early informal contacts with the current or incumbent CCPLD manager. That being said, in some cases you'll see, and especially if we go into, say, the DOS AN cases, your concern will be probably will increase because there is no policy in place. So don't be surprised if you, and maybe I should tone it down, this horse trading language or the suggestion of it. But say the only thing you can see in the different documentation is this linkage is present. I hope this is helpful.
Yeah, Bart, it's very helpful. I just want to make a quick comment before going to Stephen and then to Kim. We don't expect you to tone it down or to turn it up to 11. We expect you to try and present to us the object, just the facts, as Joe Friday would have said, and to try and extract from it. And you've been doing a good job there. Stephen, were you first?
Nigel, be careful. Say the language used, especially even if you describe it, is full of almost normative. There are normative terms used, and that in itself, and because some of it is very subjective, and so that is, in that sense, it's, say, the document is, because you use language in the IANA reports, etc., there is an assessment part, but there's also a conclusion part, say, it might be less objective than you think.
Okay, without going into the subjective-objective things, I think you can be objective about the subjective things that you see. Stephen?
Nice cultural reference dragnet there. With regards to what Martin said, yeah, I a lot of this I think is just kind of outside of policy, and I would argue that historically IANA and ICANN has been kind of making it up on the fly, and this is stuff we need to sort out. Thank you.
Thanks, Stephen. One more comment on this, Kim?
Yeah, thanks. I guess I'm keying off the comment about horse trading. I think that colours what happened in a certain way that I don't think is a fair reflection. I think at the end of the day, in almost all cases, all parties involved, approaching the creation of a new country in good faith, almost all cases, the operator of the now retired CTLD is the operator of the new TLD. I think there was general acceptance by all involved that they wanted to transition away from the old code and recognize that it's no longer on the ISO standard and, was expected to be retired at some point. And, during the act of delegation is a good time to have those dialogues because you're instantiating new policies for the new domain. You presumably want to transfer a lot of registrations over. In creating those policies, you have sunrise periods and so forth where existing registrants in the old domain get superior or automatic rights to the matching domain in the new CCTLD. So for a lot of reasons, that dialogue happened there. I think it would be unfair to characterize it as there's no way this domain would be delegated unless this other one shut down at the same time. And in fact, that's never happened. There's always been an overlap period in the order of years from when a successor domain was delegated and a retired domain has been removed. And then just commenting on the lack of policy, I mean, of course, that's why we're here, right? I think everyone recognizes that there's a lack of specific policies on retirement. I will say that, you know, as staff, our position was, just to restate it, that there is a sliver of policy, which is that we are to follow ISO 3166, and absent specific approaches being documented in great detail, you know, as staff, we were put in the uncomfortable position of, you know, having to put a lot of operational interpretation around a single sentence in RFC 1591. And so, you know, our view is adherence to 1591, adherence to 1591 and in turn ISO 3166 meant that, you know, you adhere to it both for additions and creations because it didn't say anything otherwise. So with that said, I'm looking forward to what we come up with as opposed to relitigating the past, but I think, you know, horse trading is probably not the way I would describe it.
Yeah, thank you, Kim. I was going to make a comment, but you said at the very end almost exactly what I was about to say, which is that RFC 1591 was about creation and that it's extremely indirect to talk about even the sliver of policy. So as you correctly say, that's why we're here. I'll take any more interventions on item number 6 now. Kim, did you have something more to say?
No, I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, your hand's still up. Okay, good, that's down. Okay, not seeing any more hands up. That brings us pretty much to the end of the scheduled item. So if that's okay, we'll move on to item 7. Any other business? Any other business?
This is by... Sorry, I should put up my... what I'll do is say wait for the, say, second reading and maybe in time for the Abu Dhabi, I'll take on a second scenario and use the same methodology. So building, say, the descriptive part. What I've just been thinking, and especially, from Kim Davies' comments, is what is probably useful to put in a timeline as well when what happened to show that, say, although they might be initially linked for whatever reason and say with the informal context, at some point the two processes, the delegation process and the retirement process, run their own timeline. Because then you got the descriptive part there as well, or complete descriptive part. And if we run through the different scenarios, whether they existed in real life, you have a basic, analysis available, initial analysis available, and then move forward. Thanks, Nigel.
Okay, Bart, thanks for that. Well, if there's any other business, I think that's bringing us to the next meeting and adjournment almost exactly on our soft point. So, just want to give a reminder, the next meeting is going to be the face-to-face, isn't it?
Yes, I believe it is. Say, in principle, we could have one more call prior to the face-to-face, but I think that is not helpful. Most people would be already either traveling or preparing to go to Abu Dhabi, or if they're not going. Let's go for the face-to-face meeting. And in Abu Dhabi itself, have a discussion, that would be my suggestion, whether we want to continue on a 6-hour rotation or a 8-hour rotation. In the FOY, we ended up with an 8-hour rotation, and I think that was less painful than the 6-hour rotation. But something for the agenda in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, exactly. That should be a housekeeping item on the agenda at the face-to-face. Well, unless there's anything further, thank you all for participating, and
for bringing this to a close exactly 60 minutes after we started.
Thank you, and bye-bye.